Underground Espionage, episode 32, I want to say. Ooh. I forgot to check right before we...
Oh, no. Well, we can't check now. It's impossible.
It's impossible. It's
like,
impossible.
Actually impossible. No one will ever know.
Tara.
Mike.
How is it going? We are back. We only missed a week. We weren't 100% sure. We thought we might be able to record something,
but that just could not happen.
And
it's
obviously
been quite
a week. We're late here this week. It's going to be going up right after we record this on a Sunday afternoon, evening, depending on your
time zone,
location. Yes, it is episode 32. I did.
Ah, good job. Aw.
But, man, it's been a whirlwind. It's been a whirlwind.
It's been a whirlwind. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, definitely. And I, you know, Mike, it was hard for you to push play because I kept chuckling. And one thing that makes me chuckle is the song that will not get out of my head right now. And this song, like, I mean, maybe can I share this with other people?
Right at the
with
top
these
here?
With these wonderful
it's the Underground Espionage listeners. Underground Espionage. I feel like we've peeled the curtain back so much, and I'm sure as the series go on, it's going to even more peel back, where people might not even want
to. Like, there's no curtain left.
Their curtain is gone.
There's never been a curtain.
There is just a bare bar with, like, some string hanging off it. So go ahead.
I was really tired one day. This is months and months and months ago. And for some reason, I kept having this song, Row, Row, Row Your Boat, in my head.
One of those, like, worms that, like, for whatever reason
got in your
head. Woke
up in the middle of the night hearing, yung, nung, 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 nung. And so in my head, though, for some reason, I sing, Row, Row, Row Your Boat Gently Up Your Ass. And then it just stops, and then it starts over, Row, Row, Row Your Boat. Gently up your ass. And then and over again.
First of all, you're welcome, Underground Espionage listeners.
Now you're going to think that.
Row, row, row your boat gently up your ass.
And then anytime I'm in an absurd or uncomfortable situation or I'm tired, waiting in line especially, I will just sing the song Row, Row, Row Your Boat Gently Up Your Ass over and over and over my head to make the time pass. So there it is. And for some reason this morning I was singing this little ditty as Mike was hitting play. And he knew what I was doing. And so he was also corpsing.
It is
gently up your ass.
Gently up your ass. Well, today's episode, we're really just going to discuss our travels, our recent activities, and some of the stuff we watch. Because, you know, on a flight, you're watching stuff. And just getting back to
reality. And in life, you're watching stuff.
Reality. Yeah. So nothing specific here, just a loose conversation going over our travels. And, you know, we're obviously, of course, going to, you know, talk about the fest, the Hospital Fest NYC, but probably not necessarily an in-depth recap. I would imagine if one of those occurs, it'll be over on Noise Extra. No. And was cool doing our prelude to the Hospital Fest episode over there, so... You know, obviously been sparse over there, but still a couple cool episodes. Actually, the early episode from this year, the interview with Paolo Banderas, is one of my favorites of our Noise Extra interviews.
Fantastic.
So feel free to go over there and catch up. And got some cool stuff planned for over there. But, Tara, we were in New York. And, man, it's been a week. It's still hard to really like get it all in your head because it was such a mad rush, and it was like a rush. It was working, and it was the day of the fest was just totally insane, and the days leading up to it were totally insane. But we do need to quickly, not so much quickly, we can just talk about it. We got to give a shout out to the Fulton Ale House, baby.
Oh my God!
So I mean, I guess we'll lead to it. So, flying
our home away from home while in New York. Fulton Ale House.
But I guess our first bar
staying
experience,
in Bed-Stuy.
Our first bar experience was the Rockin' Brew.
Oh, that's true.
I guess let's go chronologically. Let's settle back.
Mm-hmm.
Let's give a tale of our journey.
Yeah. So well, we flew to New York.
The Rockin' Brew first.
At LAX, we decided, you know what would be nice? Let's have a little snack and a drink prior to getting on to a 4-hour flight. And what better place than the Rock and Brew? This place is maniacal. You know, it's one of the new fangled contraptions where you order via QR code instantly and pay and tip, which I think is counterintuitive to the whole tipping process.
Yes.
Because you're supposed to tip based upon service. You're not supposed to preemptively tip.
But we all know that's gone out the window.
Hoping for good service.
That's gone out the window. I don't know when that started.
Yeah,
I'd like
to
look
back. Might
as well
not even lament it.
Because it went out the window a long time ago. Yeah. But that area of LAX is weird because it feels like the first area of LAX. Something about it felt sort of dingy.
What were we? I thought we flew Delta
American
Airlines. Yeah, that's right.
But when I saw the sign for Rock and Brew, I initially thought it was the Rolling Stone place that we went to that one time, which
was
actually
great.
Pretty nice.
Yeah.
The Rock and Brew was a dingy feel to it. Did you not agree? Do you not agree
with
that?
Well, I mean, I think it wasn't a dingy feel. Like, it was dingy. Like, the tables were sticky, and they all had kind of little scratch marks, and there was a funky, worn-down nature to this. And then after, you know, I kind of shared the ridiculous tables of, like, Blondie and Kiss and, like, Journey,
Allman
Brothers.
Quick.
Love all of them.
Shout out, RIP Ace Frehley.
That's right.
The Spaceman. Space Ace gone home. Rocket ride, speeding back to his baby, RIP.
Absolutely. So not to mention the hilarious combo of record covers on the tables, which did make me chuckle. And there were many, many, many repeats. Aside from that, it was just kind of funky, but people reached out and they were like, yeah, once I was sitting there so long, I almost missed my flight because I wouldn't bring my check, so I just left.
Obviously before this thing, and then actually...
And I was like, oh, that's why they've implemented this system, because they couldn't get the whole, like, bring food, bring check.
When we were in New York, our friend who was taking the red eye was texting me from the Rock and Brew. He's like, dude, I'm at the Rock and Brew.
I know,
so,
the Rock and Brew got a lot of business. A
lot of business at the Rock and Brew. But yeah, it was definitely one of those, like...
It was the saltiest margarita I've ever had. And this is my problem. You know, I was texting Gray. Gray, as a bartender, I was texting him about this, and I'm like, you know, when people ask if I want salt on a margarita, I'm mostly saying no. But it's not because I don't enjoy the salt. I say no to the salt because I don't want to drink a cup of salt, because always at the bottom, the glass is just full of salt. So I just don't. And Rock and Brew was no exception. There was no less than a quarter inch of salt covering the entire bottom of the drink. I had to, like, take a straw and sip the margarita, like, off the kind of the top of the drink just to not drink. It made me so thirsty.
Yeah, and I had, like, a Moscow Mule that was, like, kind of one of those where, like, the ginger beer or whatever is, like, seemingly has no carbonation, so it's
it
is weird because some, especially at LAX, there's some of the bars, like, are pretty good.
They are.
We've had, like, a good espresso martini.
But I was thinking of the very one.
Yeah, but here's the thing that we have really come to the conclusion with in this year's travels, and we have one more travel coming up.
Yeah.
I am done with the airports having the, like...
Breakfast?
No, well, just have, like, McDonald's. Like, I'm so sick of the, like... This is the fancy burger place, and it's $30. Yeah. It's like, dude, you literally can't find a McDonald's at an airport anymore. It's like, dude, I just want, like, an Egg McMuffin. Like, stop. I don't.
Oh, something inexpensive and easy, and you know what it tastes like.
It's still going to be expensive.
Yeah.
But yeah, something quick, easy. And
well,
that
I see the point.
Wait, Tara, and that's known. So that's the important
thing. I know.
Thing.
I've already heard this speech. So I apologize if it seems like I'm dismissing you. Because, dear listeners, I heard this speech for quite an extended period. Talking about a 5-hour flight on the way home.
Should have recorded it, apparently.
Should have recorded. And then the wait time, because we, of course, are early. We are chronically early everywhere we go. And so, yeah, I had an extended period of time in which to, you know, hear Mike's side of the story.
No, you felt the same way, though, especially...
My point was, I don't require it to be something that is known, because I enjoy, like, getting, like, barbecue when we're in Atlanta, getting biscuits.
In Dallas. Barbecue in Dallas.
Barbecue
and
in Dallas, biscuits in Atlanta.
But the biscuits in Atlanta is Bojangles. It's a known thing.
I fucking love Bojangles.
Yeah. So,
yeah, but it's not everywhere. You can get Bojangles here. So,
I'll say the barbecue
like
in Dallas, I agree.
Charm.
I say barbecue in Dallas,
so
I agree.
And in... And then they're, I think they got rid of the KFC in the Louisville airport, but they did have one. Now it's like Maker's Mark or whatever. But I enjoy an airport trying to have regional charm, but my problem is stop with this, like, telling us what fucking time it is. Like, don't
Definitely.
Serve breakfast in the morning in an airport because
only breakfast.
Nobody's like on schedule with their like breakfast plan.
Like we went to whatever the burger something.
We're like, I'll eat a burger.
The burger zone. Yeah. And it was, you know, whatever. It was like 9:30 in the morning. And like, oh, we're only serving breakfast. I'm like, dude,
you're only serving breakfast. Like, what the fuck?
There's
like,
people
nobody knows
taking
what time
shots
it is.
Of Makers at 7 a.m. yeah. in an airport. Like, in an airport, time stops.
Time is different in
it's
an airport.
Not like, it's you're like, we wanted a burger. Like, I didn't want a breakfast. Like, I want a burger.
Especially, like, if we're going to Kentucky or something, we're like, we're traveling for 18 hours. It's like, it takes you the same amount of time to get to Kentucky that it takes you to get to Australia somehow. I don't understand it, but it's like, we're sitting at the bar at LAX, and this lady and her three children, they sit up, and the guy's like, you can't have kids sitting at the bar. And she was like, well, who's drinking this early in the morning?
We are.
And we're like, cheers, lady.
Yeah,
like,
judge me.
I'm in survival mode.
Yeah, I'm having an espresso martini.
I'm having two, and I'm going to conk out on the plane. Like,
thinking about that third.
Like, give your kid
and
a Benadryl.
And I'm getting a Jack and Coke.
Knock them out.
A Jack and Coke Zero, my new jam on the airplane. And,
I know you love them.
And I'm all about getting the two Jacks with the one Coke. Because one of those little Jacks.
You're making it sound like we have very bad habits.
Babe, I think every single episode, as we've discussed, has either been neither of us are hungover today, nor are we like planning on getting drunk later. This is a very wholesome episode. I DJ'd a family event
you
last
did
night.
Okay, so last night, Mike DJ'd at the
Gene Autry Museum.
I don't know why that just jumped out of my head. So it was great to hear updates of like how it was going to go, because Mike, you had kind of like a themed set, but it did have ministry in it, and it had
other real bands. I was hired to DJ this. It was a family event, mm-hmm. you know, like 5:30 to 8:30. Hey, awesome time.
Best hours. Oh my god.
Yeah. I was like, and it was, at one point the dude was like, I think I told you it ends at 9:00. I'm sorry, it ends at 8:30. But he had told me 8:30. Yeah. I'm like, you told me 8:30. I'm like. And I am happy. What are you apologizing for? Like, that is
like,
awesome.
Thank you, sir.
But it was really like families and like 4 to 9 year. I mean, again, I'm not great at judging ages of kids, but I would have guessed around 4 to 9, but definitely some also like 2 year. You're like, they were walking. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Toddlers.
But so it was a lot of like Monster Mash, Thriller, Ghostbusters, but the guy that hired me did want me to play stuff like The Cure and Sisters of Mercy. He's a guy, you know, because they're, you know, for the adults who are there, but it's also like, it was just Halloween themed.
Well, you gotta make it seem cool, and you gotta expose kids to good music early so they have some taste.
And
you know
I'll
what
tell you
I mean?
What, and I was definitely like, wasn't 100% sure, like, so, but I did it, because at a certain point, here's what happened. There was a fog machine that I was controlling with a foot switch that I was controlling. That became the biggest attraction of the entire. It was outside in this really big area. There's a bounce house.
Corn
there
maze.
There was like an inflatable corn maze. The fog machine was it. They were obsessed. They were inhaling. I don't know. We might have poisoned some kids. I don't know. But and we didn't plan for that. That was going to be. So like. The fog juice, like, we didn't have a ton.
Yeah.
And it was definitely, like, once we realized that was it, we're like, oh, no. And so, like, when the point came where we had to refill the first time.
Yeah.
And there was no fog. It like, we were, like, it might have been a riot. Like, the kids were like, where's the smoke? And we were like, oh, my
God.
Bring
the smoke.
And so they were going to look for the fog juice because they put it somewhere after. Because again, we just didn't.
You wouldn't anticipate going through multiple.
We didn't think this was
dirt.
You know what I mean? Exactly. It's the Monty, you know? And so when we finally got it back, the vision I have of the night is the corn maze was kind of far away. This kid in a homemade robot, like cardboard box robot costume with like lights on it.
It's so cute.
He was probably like 4. I hit the fog thing, and you just see him coming from all across the thing, just sort of like
a glowing robot
and running towards you. And just stands in front of the fog machine.
But it is strange when like kids are like attracted to something in a very serious way.
Dude,
like when they're doing it like in all earnest, you know, it's great.
It was insane. So, but yeah, but I mean, so I did play stuff like, you know, Thriller, Somebody's Watching Me. But then like, yeah, I did play Ministry Every Day is Halloween, but then I played Ministry Revenge. I played Peter Murphy Cuts You Up. I played sisters, Lucretia.
What was the Buck Owens?
Buck Owens Monsters Holiday. That was a hit. That's amazing. Great. So yeah, I played a lot of like that kind of stuff, like the 50s and 60s stuff. But I played.
And you said they enjoyed Blue Monday.
Blue Monday. They went kids nuts when hopped. I played Blue Monday, and that was like more. That was more like in the moment because I. That's the thing is we didn't know what to plan. I didn't really know what to plan for. I didn't know it was going to be like dancing.
Yeah.
You know, I just thought it was going to be more background. Yeah. You just didn't know. I didn't know what the kids were going to do. I didn't know. And so when the energy was so high and they were like Thriller and they were going nuts, I'm like, I need upbeat. I need to like. And so Blue Monday was like obviously not necessarily quote unquote Halloween theme, but you know, so dark dance music. So I threw in Blue Monday and dude, they were like, they went nuts.
Hilarious. I love that you had a kiddie dance party.
Played Cramps. Played Ramon's Pet Cemetery. Aww. So, you know, it was still a lot of stuff that we play on our DJ nights, but then mixed in with, like, Halloween stuff. Played Suspiria. Oh, I ended the night with Suspiria. the Suspiria soundtrack into, I can't remember. But yeah. No, it was fun. It was fun.
Well, and Suspiria's hot on our mind because we just watched the Suspiria remake.
We did. So, okay. So, we did go off track now, so let's get back.
Non-chronological.
Let's get back. So we were bitching about airports and that. So we get into New York late on the Tuesday.
You're not going to talk about the movies we watched?
On the plane. We watched 28 Years Later, Not Good.
No.
And then we watched, Addams Family, which we wanted to watch something we knew we'd love.
Hey.
And as we've said many times, Morticia and Gomez are our, you know, they are our spirits.
Yeah, but our spirit animals. But when you've had like a couple of salty margaritas and maybe a tiny bottle of red wine, 28 Years Later is not the worst thing you
can watch.
I mean,
we don't care about that series. So I know people like hated it. Like, I'm like, I just don't care.
Yeah.
Like,
but definitely Addams Family was like fun and good natured. And
then that leads us to next week's episode will be, as said, we were going to do it in October. We still are. Very Adult Wednesday Addams. We're going to pick some of our favorite scenes and discuss Very Adult Wednesday Addams for the next episode. So stay tuned.
It's a great series. If you haven't checked it out. And
Halloween porn. We like to theme our porn. We'll have to do a nice Christmas porn episode in December.
This will have a high jerk-off factor.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's very modern. Yeah. This is not like a classic golden era type thing.
But it's
this
a
is
classic
like pure
modern.
Smut.
And we are excited to talk about that. So that is, I just got a little excited thinking
about it. Oh my, I'm a wreck.
Carita.
Oh my God.
Carita.
Darling, we're doing a podcast, darling.
Oh, Carita, you're driving me wild. still watching the show.
Yeah,
course,
still
amazing.
Watching
this. So yeah, always good to watch. I think it is good to watch a classic that's just a good time movie on a plane. But then it's also fun to watch a new movie that you haven't seen.
Yeah.
Always fun.
As we call it, hate watching a new movie. It's fun.
Exactly. So we're in New York. It's late. It's Tuesday.
We arrive.
And
we're forlorn, but not too forlorn.
Yeah, because, I mean, and obviously with the time change, it's like we're not ready to crash, but it's still late. It's like 10 by the time we get to our hotel. But, you know, it's New York, so you figure obviously there's going to be something open. It's New York. And so we look in the map. Look at that old map. So I literally just searched bars nearby.
Bars nearby.
And found one like two blocks away, the Fulton Ale House. I'm like,
around a couple of corners. The other options were 7-Eleven and Popeye's Chicken.
Hey, I'll tell you what.
That's 7-Eleven.
It ain't no Japan.
Got our business.
It ain't no Japan 7-Eleven, but it saved us.
Our biggest fear is like being in a situation where we cannot get food.
Yes.
So, you know, 7-Eleven, you pop in, you grab a couple of sandwiches just in case, get some snacks, get what you need, and then move about your day. Maybe you pull them out and you eat them. Maybe you just, you know, wasted a turkey sandwich. Who cares?
Yeah. So the Fulton Ale House, which ended up becoming, this is what happens with when we travel, and especially when it's just the two of us in a way that like, obviously, with this, there was tons of people we knew, but more or less, this trip, even more so than most, it ended up just sort of being the two of us at many points.
Yeah, I mean, well, we had some jobs to do. We had to get...
We had a lot of jobs
to do. We had
to
practice our set. We had other things
tons
that
of stuff.
Needed to be taken care
but
of.
But ultimately, it was like, it was us navigating these things, kind of bouncing around like pinballs.
Yes.
And so when it's just the two of us, we'll find something, whether or not it's the best thing, a thing we like, a thing we don't like.
Full Mail House is certainly not the best.
If it's familiar and close to our hotel, yeah, that's where we go.
And we find something we want.
And the Fulton Mail House was where we went.
It was a straight up sports bar and it's not the type of sports bar where you're like, it's a sports bar, but people are there and they don't care. Like, this is where, like, people who are fans of a sport sit at a bar and discuss that sport, and they wear their sports gear and they talk about it, and everybody's involved in it, and they have brackets, and
they were cranking music that Tara and I would never choose to crank.
I don't even know what genre it would
ears.
Be described as.
It was
yes.
terrible.
Modern.
The look, I will say the look of the place, aside from the TVs and the music, I actually did like the look of the place.
No, it looked like a cute little pub. It had like barrel tables.
Yeah, because when you say sports bar, I get the image of like a modern, like a you know, I don't know, it's the look of the place. I felt like it could have been such a cooler place.
Well, this reminded, okay, what it made me think of is like, if It's Always Sunny, if they were like, we're gonna convert our pub into a sports bar because our business is failing, but if it actually worked, that would be
yes,
this place.
Okay, that's actually kind of, I would say that that's a good yes. very good description.
Yeah, lots of beer being consumed. But, so we had gin and tonic and whiskey soda. The first day we came in, I had a whiskey soda. Mike had a gin and tonic. That is the only drink pretty much we consumed the entire time.
And then I get Guinness. It. Yeah. Yeah. So that became our home bar for the time there. And like, we just not really liked it. Like, well, and that's the thing is, like, you know, we had planned on, we had talked about, you know, hitting some of the tiki bars and stuff like that, but it was just like, it just wasn't in the cards. No. It just was not in the mix.
We couldn't do it. But also, we were practicing at like late. 10 p.m., 9 p.m. at night 11:30, to get ready for our set.
Midnight.
Yes. And so it's like, you can't like hit up a tiki bar
no.
on the other side of town, take a $150 lift or whatever yeah. it is, and then come right back.
Yeah, we
and then go practice.
We were
like,
very,
it's not gonna work.
We couldn't get as drunk as we like to get.
We liked it. I was like, you can't, Mike, you need to look at it from an artisanal perspective. You're going to a tiki establishment to try all of their drinks. You have to, like, you want to taste what they got because you're only going there once.
You
like, if you go there, it's like the Fulton Ale House. We can take our time and have one drink a night and go back every day.
But it was actually a conscious effort to be like, hey, look, we this is a work trip. We're not getting wasted. We can go have a beer, a whiskey soda, and then, you know, move on with the day. Like, was not like a, let's get hammered and then get hammered
exactly.
the next day and hammered the next day. So, Fulton Lake House became our home away from home. Had a great couple slices at Rocco's Pizza, which is pretty close. That was good.
That was great pizza. Yeah.
And then, practice with White Shamrock, getting ready to open the fest with that. And then,
I mean, that was a blast. We had a blast hanging out with Andrew and Greg.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, and that's the thing is, like, with all the work and the strife and the uphill battles mm-hmm. that came with it, it was always because you're with the crew, so it's fine. So, you know, we were helping set up the day before at the venue, and it, you know, it was just the amount of work that Dom and Becca put in is
it's unfathomable.
Nobody can truly fathom what.
No.
And I would say I feel like I can semi-fathom it, but whatever I'm thinking, it's a quarter of what they really went through. And so we were just basically, we told them that when we got in, we told them, like, we are on call. So whatever you need us to do, don't hesitate. Mm-hmm. Like, we're not here for vacation. We're here for the fest and to help and to work. And, you know, we do need to practice, but other than that, we need to do this. So we helped, you know, assembling merch, getting the merch together, and then just helping get the place together, picking stuff up, et cetera, et cetera. And that was our duty, and we were happy to do it. And so it was just such a whirlwind in that way. And also shout out to Fringe Records, Andrew's spot. It was cool getting to see that and going there and, you know, picking Andrew up there for practice. But it was all worth it, and it all led up to
And I was just thinking, like, so we spent a lot of time at Fringe, like looking around, and you know, that is always a pleasure for us to dig around in a record shop. And they had this thing, and I was trying to remember what it was called, and I'm looking it up right now. It's like a water phone. And it's like what they use in conjunction with a bow to play lots of sounds on horror movies. And when we were there, I didn't know what it was. And then, of course, I'm like reading about horror soundtracks on the way home, and I see this fucking thing, and now I'm like kicking myself. I want this so bad, like, and it's sitting in
taking it, yeah.
But I could have carried it. It kind of looks like a flower vase with prongs sticking up on the side, and I thought maybe it was like Gray has all those like finger harps and stuff, so I thought maybe it was that when we were there. But you fill it full of water and then you bow it, and it's like, maybe. It's like in Texas Chainsaw is like that's what they use to make those sounds. Hey. And it's like, man, I kind of want to play with one of those now.
Hey, Christmas anybody, is coming up, Tara.
Anybody have a water phone? It's sitting at Fringe. I mean, I'm sure Andrew would ship if I wanted to go get it. But yeah, Andrew had lots of like neat equipment and pedals. And
obviously,
things of
if you're
that
in
nature,
New York, you got to go to Fringe. Obviously, it's mandatory. But I mean, day of, man, that was one of the craziest days. It was certainly the craziest day of the year.
Yeah.
One of the most extreme events I've ever been a part of. Extreme in the heat of the thing, the amount of people, the space itself. It really felt outlaw because it really felt like it was us. Like it wasn't a bar with staff.
Exactly.
It really felt like we just, and it not only, it didn't just feel that way, we did. We just took this place over.
Yes. And there was somebody who was, you know, outside of everything who came in to like sell things, like such as beverages.
Sure. But that was about it.
And that was about it.
The rest was crew and the crew, the sound people, you know, were, you know, people that, you know, related and stuff like that. So it was like, it really felt like we took this place over and truly made one of the greatest underground events ever, period.
It impacted you psychologically because, again, like, you know, when we played, it was still very mellow. Like, it was hilarious, like, on the way.
Because we were first.
We were first, and I didn't have time to, like, wash my hair or do anything like that. So I was like, oh, Mike, does my hair look okay? I'm just going to tease it. And just like, oh, this is going to be stupid. My hair's going to be flat. We get in this place and like, you know, after we played and it was like, you know, nuts to butts with people.
It
just
was,
like
that's
so.
The thing you said, it was already a full room.
Every
when we played
single
it first.
Bit
yeah.
of space was packed with people. And it was like everybody's drenched in sweat. If you were wearing jeans, you had wet jeans that were wet with sweat. Like everything. And so it was just like hilarious. And like Mike's like, you worried about your hair right now?
Yeah.
Like everybody's just wet. Everybody just got a wet down.
Wet the entire time.
So it was kind of like this also extreme psychological situation. Because if you were there, you wanted to be there. And I am a temperature wimp when it comes to heat. Like if it is freezing cold, fine, I'll deal with it, you know what I mean? But generally if it's hot and stuffy, I'm the first one to tap out and be like, I can't handle this, I'm gonna pass out, like this is terrible. And like the exhilaration of the day and seeing what we saw, like, didn't even faze me. Like for some reason, just like the willingness to be there, the energy of everyone, just and it's like everywhere you looked, one person was excited to see something. Like, oh my god, I can't believe I get to see Departure. Oh my god, I can't believe I get to see Kickback. Oh my god, I can't believe I get to see GO. Oh my god, like every person who went up was like an oh my god situation. Yeah. Like everything was fantastic.
Oh my god, Mortician's the secret.
Oh
guest.
My god, that's the secret that people in the merch line like fucking Mortician is on right now,
dude.
Like it was, I mean. But so it's just like one exciting thing to the next.
Yeah.
But it was also, you are at the same time kind of in survival mode in terms of like, you got to watch where you're standing because you might get hurt. You know what I mean? You got to watch where you are. But it's like shows used to be. I mean,
It felt old school in that. Yeah, it was, you know, it got crazy.
You could get in over your head here.
Easily, you know, especially during like Departure, Kickback. You know, the crowd was going insane. You know, I guess today's the first day I don't feel my rib is not sore, and I definitely bruised a rib. It was either departure, Vatican, especially when he pulled out meal can be made and everyone just went nuts, or mortician. Crazy. That was probably the most that I was like in it. I didn't get in the kickback pit, but other than that,
the kickback pit was a more violent
situation. I sort of knew. I was like, we're gonna hang. And it's funny because our buddy Seth, he was I told him, as it's the ultimate curse that I do. I'm like, yeah, I'm just gonna hang back. And then mid departure, he's up to me. He's like, yep, Mike, I'm just going to hang back Conley. And I'm just like, good. Like, me and James.
Gonna hang back. I'm up at the front of the stage. Like, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So he's like, yep, classic. And because he saw that happen at Battle Ruins, where I did the exact same thing. Ah, we're just going to hang back. Cut to me stage diving for Battle Ruins. Yeah,
exactly.
So I was in it because for me, it just felt like, you know what? We're here. This is overwhelming. This is crazy. I'm just going to fucking go nuts. Who cares? Who cares if I'm hurt or sore or if I'm bruised?
Yeah.
I mean, I got color right away in the White Shamrock set because I sliced myself up on the metal. I didn't mean to.
Well, and I knew they didn't, like, and I've played with you enough times, like, in practice, you're holding back and you're just like, we're doing our practice. We're making sure it sounds good.
Well, it's not, yeah.
But once we're in front of an audience, I know you and
it's not a plan. And it's not a plan.
No,
I don't,
it's
not
just,
like,
you know.
It's just the energy I get going. Yes. And especially now that we pretty much play once a year, it's sort of.
And you can destroy your equipment because you don't have to play it again.
Yeah.
So you had a thicker piece of metal than I did. And so when you were stabbing it, it created kind of like a razor sharp cheese grater effect. So I didn't realize. So you got color on your hand from stabbing it. And then I was trying to clear off the equipment. And as soon as I touched it, every single one of my fingertips started bleeding. So then I'm dripping blood from like all of my fingertips. So again, the rest of the night, like if I was trying to like dig through my bag or grab something, like at random times, like blood would just stop pouring from my fingers. So all of our stuff has blood all over it.
Yeah.
It's great.
As best as James Light, who played after us, he's like, "You're the one who got color.
Wait,
you're the one who bled." He's like, "You're the one who bled this best." I'm like, "Yeah, I didn't mean to."
No. But when it's that sharp, you don't feel it even happening, so you don't know that it happened.
You can understand how easy it is for wrestlers to blade themselves because you don't feel.
You don't feel it when it's that sharp.
And
you
just
have to
look
do
down,
anything.
And it really was. I do wish Pascal from Kickback got a bunch of good pictures and posted them.
Yeah.
But I do wish. That's my only regret of the entire day was basically like not getting good pictures of the blood all over the equipment, or even how bloody my hand was.
Yeah.
We got some more of the aftermath.
Yeah.
And
after we washed.
There's good pictures that are just a couple drops, which is also sort of evil. But, I mean, it was, like, covered all over, like, pedal and stuff.
It was a bunch. And it wasn't – but that's okay. But it was really funny. So that partnered, and then random times during the night – both of us just start bleeding again.
Yeah. Sarah looking great in the Vatican Grey Wolves camo.
So, yeah. So then again, like I had a lovely thin sweater turtleneck on, which promptly had to go away because holy shit, it was so hot. So I got the last medium. I was like the last smaller size of the Vatican Grey Wolves camo. It
you looked fantastic.
Fucking awesome.
It.
My new favorite shirt.
You and Nico. Ninos Nico, and you know, love Nico, but you know, you know.
Oh, thank
if
you.
I had to pick who
you thought was sexier in the camo, that's great, Mike.
You both rocked it beautifully.
Thank you so much.
It was
we
really
can
fun.
Be equal.
It was really fun seeing Nico, who's actually the very first person we saw that day when we showed up. Which
I know
really
it's
cool.
Of course appropriate.
But yeah, so no, the heat I think is partly what made this so memorable and psychological because, I mean, people did pass out. I mean, there were people did pass out because it really was in that room. There was no ventilation and it got so crazy.
It just couldn't keep up.
Yeah. And so, you know, we watched every single thing. We saw every set. We popped our head out to get a little air once in a while, but we did see every single set. Even if we didn't see every minute of every set, we definitely saw every set.
Yeah.
And I gotta say, it's one of those where people ask what was the best set. Honestly, every single set, not one set was like, oh, they
everything were, was
there was awesome. Never a moment of like, ooh,
Frontier like, was so exciting Frontier too, because we haven't seen Frontier new Kick, project.
Kickback just Jeez. Unbelievable. We have not stopped talking about Kickback.
But the thing is, like, I guess what was so exciting is, again, just like when we first started going to shows, and maybe I'm just relating it to like being younger and more cautious, but like when you first start going to shows and it's daunting to be around a bunch of like adults, for me, like,
or just
fully
like,
grown men trying to be in a pit,
or just like,
and like see a show,
people who are like, you've heard their records and you look up to them. We still have that, but especially when you're younger, it's a lot more of that, obviously.
Well, but what I'm saying is, like, you don't know what they're gonna do to you standing in a crowd.
Oh, right,
like
right.
Like the first show, think about the first violent,
but now we're running the show.
Yeah.
Now it's us. Now it's me.
But like, think about the first violent show you went to, how you're like, shit, I need to not get near that guy. Like, you're starting to think about
for me, your personal safety. For me, it was Slayer in the 90s.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
At Bogart's.
Yeah. So yeah. You're at one of those shows. Who was it? I can't. Yeah. I don't know. Whatever. Doesn't matter. So then you're at one of those things. But this had that feeling again where you're like, I better look alive. You know what I mean? I better watch my ass.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, because you don't feel that in modern shows. Like now, like you accidentally bump into somebody in a crowd and they're like, hey, I dropped my phone.
Oh my
you know what?
God,
it's ridiculous.
Dude, I bumped into, I got excited when Pulp played Disco 2000
yeah.
and bumped into the guy in front of us and he was like, hey man, watch out. And I was literally like, well, hey, we've been here waiting to see the show.
Like
oh,
like you
sorry,
were jumping
I'm
dancing,
and dancing to
yeah.
like a song I never thought I'd get yeah. to see live that Tara and I have listened to for over 20 years.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Yeah,
like, and I was literally like, go fuck yourself.
I was ready to punch him in the back
yeah,
of the
like,
head.
Yeah, like, dude,
I mean...
oh, it got a little excited and I bumped into you. Like, people are such yeah. pussies.
But they were not.
Not here, dude.
Not
everyone, no,
here.
And we were
zero
all...
pussies,
dude,
detected.
Everyone was just fucking in it, dude.
Yeah,
and just like going hard.
But that's the thing. If you couldn't be in it and go hard like that, there were places like off to the side. People got on the
yeah,
top of
plenty,
the skate
plenty,
ramp.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not trying to say like everybody has to go hard, because certainly I am cautious in that type
yeah.
of situation. I don't want my teeth getting broken out, because
yeah, I mean,
I'm already having dental surgery.
After Departure, definitely, like, well, no, actually after Vatican, definitely, like, the rest of the night kind of cool. I, like, cooled out, like, because I didn't,
yeah.
we mostly watched everything off to the side. Like,
yeah.
I guess, I'm trying to think of the order. I guess Departure, Departure and then into Kickback. Kickback, we hung to the side.
Yeah.
Got in it a little more for Vatican, and then the rest of the night sort of chilled off to the side to
yeah.
watch everything. And like Gio, I mean, you couldn't have ended it better. And I'm so glad so many people. It was cool. It's cool having gotten to see Gio in such different settings. Like Japan, it was this, you know, large stage. They had so much room.
Yeah.
It was a little more, they could sort of take their time in a way, and it was a little more like slower. This mm-hmm. one, it felt more like, you know, old school, and whereas they were more in the crowd, kind of.
Yeah.
Not like off the stage, but like, getting sort of in people's faces more
yeah.
and it was like unbelievable.
That was visceral.
I mean, look,
it was so
everybody's
good.
Set was incredible. I mean, dude, Mortician, and it was so cool because, you know, we knew that they were the secret guest. We so many people didn't know, and when it turns out, you all, the way you found out was when you saw the shirt.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, and dude, they couldn't have been cooler. They couldn't have been more sick and awesome.
Super fucking nice, super fucking cool, ready to hang, really into the venue, into the crowd. Because that's what I'm saying, like, even as a performer, I can't imagine why somebody wouldn't
want to play like a
because
cool.
Because that's the type of show you're there because you want to be.
Yeah.
Everything's working against you being there. So if you're fucking there, it's because you want to see the show, you're there, you know? And like,
dude,
how often does that happen, like, when you're performing at a show? Most people are like, talking loudly or on their phone or
yeah.
doing some other shit, and like, that's a different type of show. This is not that type
dude,
of show.
Dude, how sick was Mortician? I mean, like,
Jesus.
They were just like awesome.
Oh,
you know? Like,
so good.
So it was really truly one of the greatest events.
Oh,
and we were
sick.
Saying like, you know, Japan.
Gio was somehow the loudest.
Oh dude, I
fucking
I,
rattled
I,
my
I, like,
gut.
I feel like I have PTSD, like when I hear Gio, those two letters, I have like ear PTSD.
And then like, we're but where we were standing, we could see, and we were really close, so we didn't really want to move, but at the same time, we were right in front of, like, the amp, like, the bass amp, and so I had earplugs, but they didn't do anything. Yeah. Like, I could just feel it rattling in my chest.
Unbelievable.
But even down to the fact that, like, I think I drank, like, 6 bottles of water.
Oh, dude.
But, like, you couldn't get drunk.
Had, like, 6 beers, like, didn't do anything,
because you're just sweating them out. Like,
yeah, didn't do anything.
But that was the other thing, too, is, like, everybody's just, like, sober.
Yeah, because, like, yeah. What are you gonna do?
Just trying to drink water.
Couldn't take.
Yeah, exactly.
Those beers couldn't take.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, you know, different than Japan, because Japan was extreme in a different way. I mean, you had to sacrifice travel across the country, but there was also an element of, like, we're in this exotic place together, and it was more spacious, and the venue's really nice, and, like, the stage is really big. This was more like we were just, like, animals, like, in this, like,
Yeah, we were like rats invading a fucking warehouse.
It was truly...
we were infesting a place. It was great.
Truly unbelievable. What Diamondback had put on was just... It'll never be replicated. It can't be replicated. And it was just the whole trip leading up to that and all the... Just everything throughout the whole year just leading up to it. What an incredible day. And then somehow made it home.
Yeah.
Don't know how.
I know. Now talking about the fest again, I'm just like, I don't know what happened since then.
Watch,
like, the new Suspiria.
So we did watch the new Suspiria.
I mean, I guess at this point, well, it's like 6 years old,
yeah,
7
I don't
years
know,
old.
Whatever. Yeah.
8 years
new,
old.
New. The new modern one. Well, so it's seven. Funny because, you know, obviously we're so anti new stuff, especially anti remakes. I don't know if anti is the right word. It's just like, in our mind, there's so much old stuff. Like, I don't have time. So
yeah, I don't want to waste my time on something that's going to just annoy the shit out of me. So it's like, if somebody who I trust says that something's good, I'll check it out. It's not that I'm opposed to seeing something modern. It's just that so frequently they let you down with some just like dumb agenda that irritates me, or just some, I don't know. There'll be one element where I'm just like, nope.
Hey, the biggest thing I am is anti-disclaimer, and we are disclaimering hard right now, so apologize for that. I feel like I'm disclaimering.
Fine.
The new Suspiria is fucking amazing.
Yeah, it was great. I really enjoyed it.
It's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I was... I was shocked. I think we watched it, and we were just, like, really exhausted and, like, recovering from everything, and still honestly just, like... trying to digest everything that happened. Oh, also, we didn't mention our last night in New York. We had been so well behaved
hey,
all
I still
week.
Think,
doing
by the way, go ahead. But I think we still maintained our well-behavedness.
We had the opportunity to wreck it all.
And we didn't.
So that doesn't mean we were well-behaved, Mike. Just not going off the rails. Just because we didn't go off the rails doesn't mean
we were on the bullet train from Osaka to Tokyo. We didn't go off the rails, but
So the last night in town, we were like, let's go back to the Korean place that we went to before because we really liked it.
And this is what we do. We find one place.
A place and we like it. And I'm like, oh, good. And then I'm like, I love that soup. I'm going to get that soup that I can't pronounce, and we're going to eat grilled meats. Let's go. So then we started, you know, having some wine, having maybe a beer and some soju. And everybody was like, we're going to this tiki bar. Do you want to go? And we were like, yeah, let's do it. We're here. Then all of a sudden it seemed like it would be really hard. And we were like, you know what? We're going to be so good. So instead of going to that tiki bar, we're going to stay here at this Korean bar and drink. So we stayed there and we had lots of soju. And then we were like, you know, it's still not midnight and we have to be on a plane at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. Let's go to the Fullerton Ale House.
Fullerton Ale House. One more time,
guys. Let's go. And so, you know, there was a lot of frolicking. There were a lot of photo shoots in front of trash piles. There was a rainy night in New York of us, like, being, like, drowned rat idiots, gleefully skipping down to the Fullerton Ale House. Telling each other hilarious jokes. I'm sure we were just dripping with charm.
Well, again, I think it was fitting. It just ended the two of us. The entire wild trip, it started with the two of us and ended with the two of us.
And then it ended with me and you laying in bed, eating the last of our 7-Eleven sandwiches, drinking a White Claw Surge, which would be the theme of the trip. And then the morning was a blur. We made it to the plane. Everything was packed. Beautiful. Got there, you know, of course. 2 hours early, as usual, through security. Easy peasy. And then we're sitting on the plane, and I'm like, I don't remember packing anything.
Yeah, we're like, I hope we got everything.
I hope we got everything. And I'm like trying to run it through my mind. I'm like, did we go through the bathroom? And then, I, you know, luckily I looked at my phone and there was an entire video of me walking through of everything being already packed, which I do not remember making. So we did cause a little mischief for ourselves on the very last night. So by the time we got home, we were like, I'm a little torn up. I am very sore. My fingers are bloody. Mike's rib is bruised. Your toenails turn black from jumping around.
Yeah. They still hurt.
Every part of my back was shredded. I'm like, we did stand up for 18 hours straight. My back hurts a little bit. So we were just like rickety as hell.
Yeah.
So watching Suspiria in that state of mind was fucking perfect.
Exactly. We were totally wrecked, totally exhausted, and knew it was like a long movie. So we're like, let's just get into it.
Yeah.
And we just gave ourselves over to it. And like you said, Tara, we had a multiple trusted sources had said
that it was like vetted.
And just sort of don't even worry about the original, just go with it. And I gotta say, absolutely loved it. If anyone has hesitated to watch it for the same reasons we would hesitate to watch anything made like post 2000, go ahead and just watch it. I truly loved it. And don't try to compare it to the original.
Mm-hmm.
It is the basic bones of the original.
Yeah, but I don't think that it interferes in it. It's not trying to be what the original is. Even
correct.
Down to like the limited color palettes, even down to the friendships that are made. Sure, we have the three mothers and that situation, but I think it's a compelling story regardless of without having to compare
and
the
I think
two.
It looks great in, like you said, in a totally different way. It's like very muted and like very dark as opposed to like the Technicolor, like, you know.
But that does, but it feels more like a place that you would encounter in that area, right?
Yeah.
Like with the, you know, more muted colors and the gray cement slab, a little more drab than you know, the dynamic like cathedral black and red windows and Gothic styles. But even the approach, why can't I remember her name? I didn't.
Mia Goth?
No.
Tilda Swinton?
Yeah, Tilda Swinton. Went the entire film without realizing that Tilda Swinton was playing multiple people. And I'm kind of glad because I feel like that's...
Might have been distracting.
Well, that's the type of thing that annoys me, honestly. Yeah. Like, oh my God, look, they played five characters. You know, it's kind of like... It's very Austin Powers, you know?
Yeah, it could have been Nutty Professor.
Yeah, it's very Nutty Professor. It's a little cheesy, but... whatever, I didn't know it, and so I didn't care, and I really liked that I didn't know that at the time. But I found that her performance was great.
I thought all the teachers
Dakota
were
Johnson
great. I really
was great.
Liked them. And Mia Goth, like, I really liked it.
No complaints. Yeah, I thought that it was approached in a way where the witch element felt engaging and real, like,
yes.
You know, when the supernatural elements seem like, I don't know, like magic for children or something, like Harry Potter, I'm a wizard.
Sure.
There's that element, and then there's the other element of like in you know, my brain is not working here. What's the one with the witch in the woods under the leaves, the burning, the fire, Eyes of Fire, like Eyes of Fire type of witchery, where you just feel like this really happened. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It feels like
yeah.
some sort of dark nature spell that a certain line of people had these intelligences passed through them through generations, and they were able to unlock this way to manipulate the world around them.
Yeah.
You know, like, so I felt like this version of Suspiria had that kind of like magic that feels really natural and possibly present in the world.
Totally,
you know?
Agree with you. Yeah.
Deferred belief is really attainable on this one. And just the way they approached it, I thought it wasn't too over the top, even though the body horror, the gore part where they're...
Whoa. Body horror, we don't say that word.
Oh my God.
We don't say that term.
Sorry. The visceral abuse.
There you, I like that much more.
The corporal abuse.
Beautiful.
Via supernatural means.
That I like.
I thought that was it was engaging, it was interesting, but it was also that thing where you're like, ow, oh, and the fact that they are, the fact that their bodies are totally mangled, like these beautiful dancers.
That's great. Young that scene where dancer she's getting mangled in the mirrored
they're
room.
Twisted into knots, and yet she doesn't die. And so they're in this like tortured state, not quite a zombie where their mind is alive, but their bodies are so battered. Like it's actually like the most brutal. I mean, I would say it's as brutal as the scene of like falling into the barbed wire.
But then and the equivalent scene of the barbed wire scene in the new one is when Mia Goth's like running in the like lower level and she like breaks her shin
in the pothole.
So it's just,
yeah. Like, yeah, and then like her shin bone sticking through. And then they repair it so that she can endure the agony all over again.
Yeah,
it was great. You know what made me think of? I was reading. I enjoy a cautionary tale. When people are like, "Don't do this," I'm such a clickbait sucker for like, why you shouldn't dig holes at the beach, and like, so
why you shouldn't eat food.
Like it was great. So yeah, I will all day long. Love it. Love it. Love it. So the joy of just tons of clickbait horror about people digging holes and like digging a little hole for a chair, and then somebody comes along and their foot sticks in it and they break their ankle, and then or their leg falls in it and they break their shin, like Mia Goth in the new remake of Suspiria, or they leave a big hole and then the tide hits it and somebody's walking at night and they fall in and they get buried in sand alive. Like, I love that stuff. So it reminded me of that. And like truly, like there was a photo of a woman who like broke her shin bone in half from falling in a hole at the beach. And I was like, it's just like this. This can happen. It's great. Anyway, exciting.
So good. And yeah, loved it. And then to end it, we'll end with one negative thing about a new thing. And that being the terrible, we are giving you a cautionary tale right now. Maybe you should have done it at top because maybe you paused this midway through and thought, I'm going to put on that Ed Gein show on Netflix and I'll come back to the Underground Espionage pod. No, don't do that. Don't go start that. That it is bullshit.
Or just no. I mean, like, here's the
bullshit.
Thing. You heard the story of what we were doing and like ending the night every night. So we ended every evening watching that Ed Gein series.
Show. Yeah, because our TV...
Until somehow somebody took their... I'm assuming whoever's had logged in to their Netflix subscription...
On the hotel TV.
Just was like, why do I keep getting all these weird-ass watches? I'm getting all these Graham Hancock series and Ed Gein.
Well, it's weird, because the way the hotel TVs work with that, you sign in. So
yeah.
We were like signed in
to somebody. And
we didn't sign ourselves in.
Her name was like Chanel, I think. Because we were like, the channel? I was like, no, Chanel.
Yeah.
So yeah, so they got Ancient Apocalypse and the Ed Gein series every single night. So and maybe Adam's Family.
So we did watch that. And we didn't even finish it. Because like, honestly, it was like, it's so shitty that like, we didn't even finish
it. But it was like... Again, hate watching at the end of the night.
Yeah.
Because
it was
you
fun
can
to
imagine
watch.
How late our nights were. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
some
like,
might call them mornings.
I'll say the mom was good. And the dude is like...
My Jackie?
Yeah. From Roseanne. And the dude... I mean, screw her in life.
As a human,
like,
but as an actor, she's great.
She's good as a mom. And then the dude was like... I mean, there's definitely good things about Ed Gein, and obviously with Ed Gein, there's a little bit of audio of his voice, but there's no real, footage of him. So it's like he did.
So
good.
You're saying they can't prove that he's not super sexy.
Well, and so that was immediately Ed Gein has ripped abs.
He's
and
got that
a,
V thing that goes down
just
into
sexy
his jock.
As hell.
He's just ooh.
He's plowing, and so like the first episode,
he's
was, like,
laying pipe.
Somehow there's like some chick that's never been in the world before. So I'm like, believe this, in the 40s, some like e-girl who's obsessed with like darkness and atrocities. Can you put like,
yeah,
she's fucking
like
e-girl.
Yeah, maybe. And then like, but also part of it was like that. I mean, if we're going to talk about her, like we don't need to discuss too much detail, but I thought she was a hallucination from Ed Gein because I'm like, oh, I don't know who she's supposed to represent.
Nobody.
So I thought she was a hallucination this entire time.
Hey, you know what? We didn't finish it, but I don't think
And
she
I
is.
Kept referring to her as his imaginary fiance, and you're like, yes. And when Mike was agreeing with me about calling
her imaginary. I was agreeing
because
like, yeah, no, it's fake.
No, but I thought it was like a plot device that this woman didn't actually exist.
There's so much bullshit, and then it keeps going in these tangents of like, now we're going to talk about the making of Psycho and Alfred Hitchcock, who looks nothing like Alfred Hitchcock, but has like a weird like quadruple chin, but doesn't have a gut, but seems to be sort of sticking his gut out.
Yeah, it is weird how the Hitchcock guy managed to only be fat in his face.
And then now poor we're going to talk about Texas Chainsaw.
But they did have the two Westies, which were accurate. Hitchcock did have Westies.
The whole thing sucked. There were so many points where I was like, what the hell are we watching? Because I'd be like, wait. Is this still the Ed Gein show? Like, because it's like,
yeah.
It's so shitty.
But the thing, I mean, I think the thing is, like, being fans of Gein, it makes it more challenging because we're like, come on. But I think the source of our irritation is that it's lending this slant to Ed Gein that is new, like a hot new take of like a sexy cross-dressing Ed Gein that is just so far from Ed Gein.
Yeah, it's
that it's just like, now what does everybody think Ed Gein is?
Well, so that's,
but
so,
he was
that is my biggest issue is that I don't necessarily mind retaking things from reality and moving them into the world of fiction. I really like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah,
Blonde, you know,
yes,
like one of our favorite movies of the past 10 years. You know, it's Marilyn Monroe and there's things that are real and then there's things that aren't real. That doesn't necessarily bother me.
Yeah.
But in this case, it one of the things that does bother me is like, I think now this is how people are going to think about Ed Gein.
Yes.
There's enough stuff about Marilyn Monroe or Charles Manson that you can get the real story.
Exactly.
There isn't a ton, as weird as it seems, because for us, it's such a day one, you know, true crime case. But in reality, because it's from when it's from, there isn't there isn't a massive amount of documentation, interviews, footage, etc.
Exactly.
There, you know, there's enough, and to me, that's what makes Ed Gein so great. Because there isn't, I can use I think about Ed Gein in the way I think about Ed Gein. There's pictures, there's a little bit, and then I fill in the rest.
But it also tells you the things he was reading, like the comic books he's reading. And they kind of touch on that, but...
But it's a way that's total
But I'm just saying, from the books and documentation of the things that Ed Gein, that were actually in his home,
but
it's just provocative. Like, his skull,
it's just
bowl that he was eating cereal, and
the
his
thing
comic
is I like
books
about Ed Gein
like
is, like, I like thinking about it.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I like thinking about it in black and white. Yeah. Now, this is going to contradict what I just said, but in a future episode, in a soon future episode, in the next couple weeks, we are going to cover the superior Ed Gein story, that being Deranged, the 70s movie, which, again, takes liberty. It's
a lot of liberty.
Names are different in the movie, but it is actually it's one of the best serial killer movies because they can be hard to do, and it is by far the superior story that does take liberties. It's not exact.
Mm-hmm.
But it's way better than this shit show.
Well, but I like the Menendez brothers, and I liked the Cunanan.
Some of those shows can be good.
Yeah, but this one in particular, and this just as far like as aesthetics goes, aesthetically, I enjoyed it.
There's things to like about it. I don't like the tonal shifts because there's points where it's like, is this supposed to be funny?
Yeah,
I don't like the tonal shifts. Again,
there are things to enjoy about it.
And actually, what I also want to do is not only the superior Ed Gein story, but I want to do the superior Ilse Koch. I always say Koch. I don't know. I think it's Koch. But the superior story being Ilsa She-Wolf of the SS.
Oh, I mean, 100%.
So, because they mix that in as well. That's the thing is, like, if you haven't seen this, you're like, what the hell are you guys talking about?
Yeah.
It sucks. Watch Deranged and get ready for our episode in a few weeks about Deranged. So there you go. I think that recaps what we have been up to. And Tara's having major dental surgery.
It's going to be a hoot.
We're going to watch adult.
We've been really trying to like have fun now because when dental surgery hits, it will not be fun.
We are going to have fun because we're going to watch Very Adult Wednesday Addams. while you recover. So that'll be a good thing to look forward to, Tara. And we're going to talk about our favorite Very Adult Wednesday Addams scenes for the next episode.
And that'll be great. I might sound weird. I'll tell you how fucked up my face looks. I'll tell you what everything feels like. It should be a really exciting time.
Yeah, it should be exciting. Also exciting is we're working on something that will be coming out on a form of media that we will announce when it's ready to announce. Something that is very cool that we got asked to do as the Underground Espionage Podcast. So that we'll announce that when it's time.
I just read what we did. That. We also, on the plane ride home, we watched Some Like It Hot, which was so goddamn good.
It is really good, Tara.
So goddamn good. We watched Carrie.
We did watch Carrie. That was amazing.
And Carrie. God, I love Carrie. Yeah, I mean, look.
That was amazing.
What did you think? I was not going to try to distract you when you were wrapping
it
up.
It is
so
wild.
Neatly.
It is this wild thing you do. Mm-hmm. I don't mind it on the podcast because, you know, we're just talking and I like it. Sometimes when I'm wrapping up with you, but it is the other day. I'm going to say, you were having a conversation with your folks.
Oh, on the phone.
There was a perfect, it was the end of the conversation. and we were trying, I can't remember what we were doing, but we were like about, we were doing something after this conversation. Yeah. I don't remember what it was, but we were like going to
do
something.
We had something to do.
Dude, it was like, I was like, okay, wrap it up. Like, because it was on speaker so I could hear it. Yeah. And you had this, and then you did exactly what you just did. Out of nowhere, you brought up an entire new thing.
Oh, I doubt that.
And it went for 20 more minutes.
That doesn't sound like anything I do.
I'm like, what?
We were just catching up.
You caught up. It was all, everything had been caught up. And then the conversation was over.
I'm a yappy southerner. What are you going to say?
And I was like, whatever. And we were like going somewhere. We were going to lunch.
Just being convivial.
Like, let's go. And then you're like, 20 more minutes. Like, come on. It is a skill you have, Tara.
Thank
you.
You
know what, Tara?
The derailing.
As
but you know what?
Say, I will never say a single bad word about you to anybody. We have our bits in person. But no one will ever hear me say a bad word about you. So, Tara, I'm not even saying that's a bad thing about you. I'm saying that's something that's charming about
row,
you.
Row, row, row your boat gently up your ass.
Row, row, row your boat gently
row,
up your
row,
ass.
Row, your boat. Gently
row,
up
row,
your
row
ass.
Your boat gently up your ass. All right. Thank you so much for coming along with our insane ride. We'll see you next week for the Very Adult Wednesday Addams.
It's very adult.